I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, welcome to episode 276 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on Wednesday, July 12th, 2017, and my name is Dan Gorman. Believe me, honey, she's more scared of you than you are of her. You're thinking of bears, Mom.
My name is Casey Lyons, and you all seem so smart, but you have no idea what you're doing. Like a monkey in a lab coat or an actor wearing glasses.
My name is Greg LeGros, and remember how excited I was to see the movie American Pie that I didn't sleep the night before? And remember that scene where the guy has sex with the pie? Well, I don't, because I fell asleep in the theater.
Oh, I love that.
Hey, Clone High.
Yeah.
Oh, I love Clone High so much.
It's the greatest.
And I'm glad the Han Solo movie's not going to be it.
We have so much to talk about this week. Two of us went and saw Spider-Man Homecoming, and one of us stayed at home and watched Tom and Jerry and Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
right.
Holy shit. I forgot about that delightful piece of news.
We will talk about those two movies and an album in our Film Roulette segment later in the show. But before any of that, if you'd like to get in touch with us, please email us at info@modernsuperior.com. You can submit punishment ideas, thoughts and comments and disagreements or arguments, whatever you want. Go to iTunes, rate and review us there. It helps out a lot. Modernsuperior.com is the website. SYNWPC is the Facebook and Twitter handles. And you can go to Modern Superior and click on the Patreon button and help us keep the lights on that way. How you guys doing?
Does the show keep my lights on?
Yeah.
Wow.
We split all the Patreon money and just pay our electricity bills with it.
Oh, I thought it was magic that was keeping my lights on.
Yeah.
I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, in a way.
Yeah.
Show a little bit of magic.
Yeah. You guys having a good week?
Yeah,
no.
Sure.
No.
Sure.
One of you said sure, one of you said no.
I'm like just the kidding, guy.
But which one was it?
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
No, I'm having a great week.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Sweet.
Good.
Let's get into our first segment of the show, as always.
Okay.
New news.
It is.
Guys, new. Is this the first time we've ever done this?
Yes.
What's happening?
New news and movies we have been watching.
Yeah.
I wrote down no news this week.
Why?
But I believe there was some.
There were some things that popped up today.
I believe that today was the debut, the debut of the Stranger Things 2 trailer.
A full
trailer?
I did not see a trailer, but I saw a fucking dynamite poster.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just very maybe excited. I thought there was a trailer with the poster, but I saw the poster.
Yeah, it's lovely.
So Stranger Things 2.
It's great. It's beautiful, colorful.
It's beautiful, has a huge monster in the clouds.
Yeah.
Seems like they're really going big.
Good.
Yeah.
Great, man.
I'm excited.
Monster in the Clouds is my favorite song from Les Mis. Monster in the Clouds this time?
I don't know.
Is it just new monster
it's
every
a
time?
Poster, man. I don't know.
Yeah.
The poster doesn't tell you everything that happens?
No. But it looks like they're carrying over, obviously, the style and design and
And when I was, speaking of posters,
yeah.
when I was in the movie theater,
okay.
I overheard an infuriating conversation.
Oh, I
almost
hear it.
Wanted to step in, but I'm like, there's no hope.
Yeah.
I was leaving the theater, and there was, I guess, a family.
Okay.
Grown parents and their teenage daughter.
Yes.
Looking at the poster for The Big Sick, actually.
Okay.
And I was at the Varsity Cinema. And so it's a like a projected poster, so it's got the showing time
yeah.
up at the top and
yeah.
then the poster. And it says now playing because the or now showing because the movie's happening.
Yeah.
So you don't walk in or whatever, so you know it doesn't start at 4:40, it's already playing.
Yeah.
And then there's just the poster, which is the advertising poster for the movie.
Yeah.
And they're looking at it and the mother's like, how can it be now showing and coming soon? and you'd think it was just a dumb question that would be left alone, but it kept going back and forth. Like, see, look, but up here it says now showing.
Yeah.
And down here it says coming soon.
Down here on the
I don't
thing
understand.
That was printed out and is unable to be changed
yeah.
and could have been made
the
at any date. They're
not making their own posters.
I like to think that they're still standing
yeah.
to this day.
Some say if you listen quietly, you can still
you
hear
can
them
still
arguing
hear.
To this day at that theater.
Fucking idiot family. Okay, Mom, let's start again.
Yeah.
Let's erase everything. We'll just start right over.
It was
it's
coming
soon.
Soon.
And yet still showing.
Oh, that was very good.
That's good.
Yeah, yeah.
That sounds like a real dumb family of idiots.
Yeah. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Hey.
Did you hear
yes.
that Wonder Woman 2
yes, this
could,
is some news.
Could be set in the 1980s?
Right.
And they are thinking of bringing back Chris Pine.
I think both things are a mistake.
Yes. I kind of agree. Maybe
yeah.
I
Listen,
haven't read a lot about.
It's so fun to set things in the 80s. We love. There's so much stuff
yeah.
that does that. But there's so much stuff that does that.
Yeah,
it would
enough.
Just be following a stupid trend right now.
Yeah, which
like
we,
don't stop putting things in the 80s if it's germane to the situation.
Yeah.
If you're making a movie about coming of age in the 80s or something like
yeah,
that,
yeah.
whatever. Or you know, down the road, whatever. Just don't set. Wonder Woman in the 80s just because it's the thing to do right
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
Now they
just because
and
listen, you would have fun with the soundtrack.
And if, yeah, right? And if you're going to do that, you also got to stick to whatever year you're in. No stuff from later.
Yeah.
I don't like it when you do that, movies. And also, if you are going to do something in the 80s, I don't know why everyone's ignoring the redheaded stepchild of the 80s that is 87 to 90.
Yeah.
That's an ugly time period.
It's a
show me all the 80s. I want to see all of it, man.
It's a let's make that a fucking thing. Somebody make a movie that's quintessentially 1988.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or even better, 1989.
Oh,
because
yeah.
things got even grosser in 1989.
Yeah, really bad.
Like, movies were... Like, movies looked gross. Like, even the blockbuster movies were, like, fucking gross looking for some reason.
Summer 89 was a big blockbuster summer, though, wasn't it? Wasn't that? That's like Batman, Lethal Weapon 2.
But yeah,
no.
Yeah, absolutely.
Bill and Ted. But yeah, no, everything's got a...
Better dress.
It's the way people dressed, particularly in the end of the 80s.
That was gross.
Yeah.
Which is very funny.
They say that the reason why they want to put it in the 80s is so that, much like in this movie, they had kind of a big baddie, like, group of baddies to
yeah.
kind of set it against the Cold War, obviously, Soviet Union 80s could be, like, the backdrop in which it's
yeah.
it's played against.
Yeah, but
blah,
if they're going to make
blah.
A
yeah.
if they're going to make a
more
a,
of that
like a clever nod to the
Ruskies?
Soviets being the yeah being the bad guy, just fucking skip it.
Yeah.
Skip it, America. Get
yeah.
out of your own ass.
Yeah, tell a modern story.
Yeah.
There's nothing
yeah.
wrong with today.
Yeah.
It's true. Well, they opened
tell
and closed
a story
in
about me.
Yeah.
The Wonder Woman movie opened and closed in today.
Yeah.
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 So you kind of thought maybe they would get there by the end of the movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Or maybe the sequel.
Yeah. So I think that's a bad idea. And
okay.
let Chris Pine be dead, man.
Yeah. It's,
that's great.
It's much more powerful
yeah.
if he's still dead.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I agree. Did anything else pop on your guys' heads and for news? I'm trying to figure out here. Uh-huh. Oh, they did cast
what
Squirrel Girl.
My head.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know who that is, though.
And the rest of the new
actors.
Warriors.
Milana Weintraub? Weintraub?
Yes.
Yeah, she's great.
Great. So this is going to be like a comedy.
I
would think so.
Again,
she's comedic.
They've a couple of these properties have gone to Freeform, which is like the formerly ABC Family Channel, which is where Switched at Birth, a show that I am a huge supporter of, was on. And I feel like, yeah, it might be leaning towards that kind of like ensemble comedy, but with the drama. Like, it'll probably be funny, but it'll probably also be dramatic.
Right.
I have high hopes for this. I was in the library recently, and they had a lot of comics, and I picked up a Squirrel Girl book for the first time.
Right.
And kind of almost read through the whole thing, because it's not like, it was just like the one issue.
Yeah.
And it was fucking hilarious.
Yeah.
I really liked leafing through it, and I was like, I need to read more of this. It's really funny.
What a weird thing to get this big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I hope this is good.
Yeah, I mean, I've read a little bit of Squirrel Girl stuff. Not a lot, though. Just sort of standing around in the comic shop, read a couple.
Yeah.
But I just got this app, the Marvel Unlimited or something.
Oh, yeah?
That's just like all of the comics.
Oh, cool.
They're just in my phone. It's like a Netflix of comic books.
Yeah.
But it's all of them. All of Marvel.
Yeah.
I was like, how many of them? I went, like, X-Men from the 70s? Yeah. Oh, shit, they do.
Oh, really?
Oh, like all of it.
Straight up
like
everything.
Fucking all of it. And it, I don't want to sound like I'm advertising for something I'm doing for the free month of. But
yeah.
But it does, like, it'll categorize, like, if you want to, I just want to read The Fall of the Mutants, or I just want to read Kraven's Last Hunt. It has them separated, so you can go through the, I was like,
that's awesome.
I don't have time to go to comic stores anymore.
So yeah.
I was very excited. Although it's really weird, I don't like it not being paper.
It's weird, and it's when it's on your phone, it's like you got a pinch to zoom in.
It's a tablet only thing. I think.
Yeah,
on the phones.
Yeah,
no
I can
sense.
Handle
the whole fucking
totally
scope of the page. But my point is, I'm going to read more Squirrel Girl
totally
in anticipation of trying to enjoy this show.
Yeah,
which I heard when I heard they're doing New Warriors, I'm like, are we at this level of the barrel of Marvel?
Yeah, this is going to be a Guardians of the Galaxy thing where it's like, the ones that people associate them with now won't be the original, like, you know what I mean?
Well, they're using the originals, what, Night Thrasher and Speedball, right?
Really?
They're in there,
holy
aren't they?
Shit.
I bought issue one of the New Warriors under the back when you had to buy number ones, because this is going to be worth something, man.
It's the first one.
Whoa. horrible. Anyway.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm high hopes for that show.
Yeah.
See if they can pull it off.
It'd be nice if it was good.
Totally.
Yeah.
What else? Anything else?
Yeah, I feel like there's something else.
Okay.
Well,
what do you got, Casey?
Heard something that's interesting that I think I'd heard as a rumor, but it was sort of confirmed for me that there's a new cinematic universe in town, and that's the Stephen King cinematic universe, where it and the Dark Tower and everything will take place within the same cinematic universe. Because
they have that show coming up, right?
Do.
Yeah, the show called Castle Rock.
Yeah.
Which
is this going to be the connective tissue of everything?
I wondered that myself. I'm not sure if it's going to be
this
in line
is
with
in
it,
the books.
Or if it's going to be like a Marvel Universe thing.
Because they would reference the characters.
It's all centered around Derry.
Yeah, and not just that, but there's like specific, you know, things that run into each other. Like the Dark Tower series goes into the Stand,
right?
At one
point, yeah,
you
and they are there. That's another thing is that they're making the Stand, and Randall Flagg is going to be carry over. It's going to be
good. I was hoping that would still happen because that's what I really want to see McConaughey do as the Man in Black. Is
I want to know who's going to play Evil Dan Gorman?
Yeah,
Gornemic is free.
Was that the Stand?
Yeah.
They can't.
Hey,
get
I'm
him.
Free.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm a young Gornemic.
Yeah.
in the books, like in It, there's a little like side thing where they're kind of like how long It has been around, and there's a little quick chapter that's that has what's his face, from The Shining, jerk.
Can't I don't
think
know
anyway.
Their names.
Scatman Crothers.
Yeah.
Can't think of his character's name for the life of me.
Fuck, now I can't either.
Yeah.
The guy from The Shining.
Yeah, yeah. Some people are frustrated with us.
Well, we can Google it.
No, that's why my memory's no good.
But
no
we
more.
Can talk for the listeners while one of us Googles it.
Like, pretends we remembered.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They got Bill Skarsgård from the It movie is going to be in the TV show that they're talking about, the Castle Rock show.
I see.
That was like the casting news today.
Playing Pennywise?
I guess so.
That's bonanza.
Or maybe not. Is he playing? He's playing in the movie, right?
Yeah, he plays Pennywise.
Yes. Second King project for Skarsgård. He he's not playing it. He will play a young man with an unusual legal problem. Ooh, I want to see this show.
That sounds intriguing.
Yes.
I love some legal problems. Is Cujo going to show up in this thing?
Is Danny Pintero going to show up if Cujo does?
I want like cameos like in just a scene for no reason. A car drives in the background with nobody in it.
Yeah.
Playing ironic songs based on what's going on. Is that Christine back there?
Well, Sissy Spacek is in the show.
Oh,
she signed on to the show.
Huh.
And I want to say, oh, shoot, what is her name? I don't remember. But she's really good.
Great.
Good stuff. This has been our strongest bit of work.
I know.
You're welcome, friends. I'm nothing not an investigative reporter.
All right.
Jane Levy. Levy.
Oh.
She's also in it.
Yeah.
Guess who Scatman Crothers played? Dick Halloran.
God damn it. That's really disappointing.
Oh, Mr. Halloran.
Yes. Yeah. So, Stephen King universe. I think that's a universe that could work because it's established that they cross over.
Yeah.
So it makes total sense.
Yeah, he's
been
doing this fucking thing forever.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I say go for it.
Yeah.
Green Lit by Dan Gordon.
I read something that in the late 80s or early 90s, Kurt Russell pitched a shared universe of action heroes.
Yeah.
And they told him he was crazy.
Yeah. Now he's like, you motherfuckers.
Yeah.
That would have been good. What do we? Is there any details on like what he like? He just wanted. He went in and said like, "What if all these movies?
Like this, what if this?
Let's
you know,
just
like, they're
all one.
Under the same umbrella. You know, like they're all owned by whatever company. Like, what if they cross paths or worlds got together?
Yeah,
you know, like John McClane and you know, the Lethal Weapon fellas and fucking you know.
Yeah, imagine.
There's
whatever.
No reason why that would
Rambo
have sold. A zillions and
right?
of tickets.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway.
Yeah, all the like the silver pictures stuff.
Yeah.
If the last Boy Scout team ran into,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Is there anything Kurt Russell won't think of?
Yeah.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty good.
Well, it could have been good.
Uh-huh.
What have you guys been watching this week? Was there any other news, or do you want to talk about movies and television we have been watching?
I had this one news thing carry over for a little while, and I just wanted to mention it real quick.
Good time.
Because it's exciting.
Yeah.
They are trying again at a Tremors TV series.
Right. Is
which
Kevin
the
Bacon
first time
now?
Was ill-advised, but this time, Kevin Bacon is back, and he's playing...
He's playing Val.
He's playing Val.
Yeah.
So
I like that. I like that.
Now... Will they get Fred Ward? Who knows?
But
if
they
don't, it'd be a mistake because, like, I'd say about 50% of why that movie is one of the best fucking movies of all time is because their chemistry
is incredible.
Fucking brilliant.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's such a great, well-cast movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen that movie a lot of fucking times.
Oh,
so
a lot
good.
Of fucking
oh,
times.
Oh, man. And every time I'm like, Yeah.
There's no part that's bad.
No.
Here's a question. Yeah. What if this was the one time Michael Gross was like, nah. Like
it's
he's been in every
me.
Shitty one.
There's no more story to tell. Trust me.
Guys, I've covered everything.
I can't.
Or if he does come back, what if there's like a fun altercation on the set between Bacon and him where he's like, I've been here this whole fucking time. You've been off doing real shit,
show, Bacon.
Yeah. That'd be funny.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
Oh,
for
sure.
I watched the Tremors show and that show was fucking garbage.
Oh, man, was it bad.
But if it was on, I'd be like, I guess I'm watching this now.
Yeah, no, not me. I've seen three of the movies.
Yeah.
Two is... Not
I like to
horrible
it's
at all.
Yeah, it's fun. It's a fine.
Fine. That's exactly.
Film. Yeah.
Fine.
That should be the poster.
Yeah. It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah. But three
Tremors 2
sucks.
If you want.
Four was the Back in Time one, and that was garbage. And then there's a fifth one with Jamie Cannon. No, I think there was a fifth one Back to Perfection, or maybe that was the third one.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway,
there was
like another one and then the Jamie Kennedy one.
Right.
Yeah. Which, no thank you. Jamie did we? Did I have to watch that?
I didn't.
I feel
see
like
that.
We. I can't remember if we did that as a punishment movie or not.
I don't think, but we certainly should. Yeah, we certainly have not.
I know I've seen some of it, and
okay,
I know I've watched a good chunk of it.
I feel like we did. I feel like we
really.
Yeah, I really do.
It's possible I watched it under my own volition, though. Yeah.
It's probable you did.
Yeah.
But,
All right.
Speaking of watching things under my own volition,
Dan, you were sick.
I was sick last week. The show was ground zero. I was like, I think I'm getting sick. And then Wednesday morning, woke up, holy shit. And I'm getting over it.
You're saying it's our fault.
Yes. So I watched 1,000 movies.
Yeah.
Here's a movie, though, that I want to mention very quickly because I know that we will have something to say about it. Because I also watched a lot of garbage action movies that I probably don't need to bring up. And then a couple things I want to bring up. But
good.
But before,
I'm very curious about your... movie adventure.
Yes. Yeah. Here's the first one that I want to say that I had never seen, and I think Casey might have written about it on our website, Modern Spirit. Joe versus the Volcano.
Oh.
I might have. I've watched it within the last 8 years.
Yeah. I saw it in the theater with my mom.
Nice. Ding, drinking game for the longtime listeners.
Yes, yes.
I loved it.
Terrific
that
movie.
Is a terrific
movie. So you hadn't
movie.
Seen it before?
Never.
It's fucking wonderful.
It's great. Mm.
Yeah.
What a great...
John Patrick Shanley. I think he... Did he direct it, too?
He did. It was his only one for Until Doubt.
Yeah.
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 Which is a remake, I think, of Joe versus Volcano.
Yeah.
Well, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I really like Joe versus Volcano. Yeah. It's an odd movie, and it's an interesting movie, and it doesn't quite fit the way you think, like, maybe it could be even better,
right.
But for what it is, you're
but
like, this is great.
It sets its tones
right away.
The day-in, day-out torture of work life that's on display in the first 20-30 minutes of this movie is fucking spectacular.
It is great.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And just
the line of people and the mud and the, oh, Jesus.
And they're walking,
and how work
breaks
is.
His shoe.
It's so, I
the
love
disgusting
that kind
coffee.
Of, yeah, yeah. I love that heightened reality of despair.
Yeah, yeah.
In 80s movies, they really, like, knew how shit things were.
Yeah.
And how to make it fun.
Totally. And Tom Hanks is so good in it.
Yeah, yeah. Meg Ryan's
great
in
multiple roles.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a lot of fun watching it. It was delightful.
Yeah.
So
were you sick with a brain cloud?
I was sick with a brain cloud. Yeah. But then they were like, that doesn't exist. Don't worry about it.
Get out of that volcano.
Yeah. Or jump into it and it'll shoot you out.
Get a second opinion?
Yeah. Yeah.
Something called a brain cloud?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. What
great
a movie.
Joe versus the Volcano. If you've never seen it, if you have always thought of it as a dud because it was not super well received
at
the time, it's definitely one that was just, it was too singular for its own good at the time.
Yeah. So
people didn't know what they had.
No. So, and it's a weirdo movie.
Yeah.
It edges towards kind of outsider stuff in the 80s.
It's great.
Yeah.
What else? What have you guys?
As far as the studio picture goes, anyway.
What about you dudes in terms of watching?
I finished Fargo.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Don't you know?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
Wonderful. What a... I cannot get over... This show has no business being this terrific.
Yeah, the end blew my fucking mind out of my butt.
I'm glad you got it fixed. Yes. You're okay, and you're sitting here fine.
As a fella says.
Yeah.
Just everything, the way everything happened and how compelling it was and everything, and then, like, the final statement on everything that happened.
Yeah.
Oh, my God, it was fucking beautiful.
Yeah.
It was so good. And delivered... perfectly, fucking perfectly by David Thewlis and Carrie Coon.
Yeah. Yeah, the performances, that's the one thing I'm really, I think we might have remarked on this a little bit, probably, but this series, just how consistently it's getting everyone's serious A game.
Yeah.
It's, you know, good actors are going to do good work, but they're all doing, like, exceptionally good work. Ewan McGregor is a fantastic actor that I enjoy in just about everything I see him in. But this was extra special, you know?
Oh, I feel like
Patrick Wilson was extra special.
Yeah.
Back to season one, Martin Freeman was extra special, you know?
Yeah, I just think it's... And I've heard an actor say that it's Noah Hawley, like, it's the thing that Noah Hawley sets up, it's impossible not to be on board, not to be sort of, like, enveloped by it.
Yeah.
And become a part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, oh, God, it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so fucking good.
So good.
Yeah.
Very.
What's the, this is season three.
Three?
Okay.
Yeah.
So season three of Fargo.
Yeah.
I'd like to know what are people thinking of that in terms of our listeners? Email us.
What did you think of in the woods?
Oh, God.
Holy shit. Like, and then like the surprise of this is a fucking asshole thing to do.
I know.
What about this? And then that, and then
winky winky.
Yeah. But oh my God. It's fucking beautiful.
Nice. Yeah,
anyway, good one.
Fargo.
Yeah. Yeah.
Season three.
And the support cast, like, all the way down. There isn't a wasted role or a subpar performance anywhere.
No.
Anywhere.
It's fucking great.
Who's that Russian guy? Or is he Russian? Is he Yugoslavian?
Yeah. Something Gorin or something.
Boy, is he very, very good.
Oh, my God. He's fucking phenomenal.
Yeah. I think I just took a glance at his IMDb. Sorry, I have more information coming. I think this is one of the very few English speaking roles he's done.
Yeah.
But I'm super curious about this dude because he just has so much presence, and every scene was really
the fucking scene was
really intense.
What's the role?
He plays like muscle.
Yeah, basically. he's like a tough guy, but also more than that.
Yeah. Holy shit.
The scene with Mark and the scene in the library.
Yeah, yeah.
He's fucking
my God. I'm Goran Bogdan.
Yeah.
Bogdan.
Cool.
He played Yuri Gurka.
Nice.
And he is from, Yugoslavia. What a terrific actor.
Yeah.
I'm going to have phenomenal. To watch something
some
else
of his other movies.
He was just so good.
Nice.
And very intimidating.
Yeah. Great. Ray Wise fucking shows up.
Who doesn't like Ray
fucking
Wise?
Wonderful.
Yeah. Anyway, we've talked about this show a bunch of times over many episodes, but
I want to hear what listeners think of Fargo season 3.
There's a couple people out there.
Yeah.
Slack channel have mentioned it, but
hop in Slack.
Can't believe how good it is.
Nice.
Can't believe it.
Cannot.
What else?
Believe.
What?
Won't believe it.
Well, I refuse to believe it.
What else have you guys been watching? Casey?
I watched a movie. I watched a Dan Gorman recommended movie.
Oh.
I watched a movie called The Edge of 17.
Oh, nice.
This has been an oft spoken about movie by Dan Gorman, talking about how much he loves this movie and how great he thought this movie was. And I'm here to tell you, Dan Gorman's right.
Nice.
Oh, good.
You love to set him up. I was like, if he does not like this movie, I will be very surprised.
Because
it is a wonderful film.
It's fucking wonderful. Ugh. Everything about this movie is a win.
It's hilarious.
It starts out, and you mentioned this too. I didn't remember that you mentioned this until I was watching it, where it starts out with completely unnecessary narration.
Yes.
And I was like, no, don't do this. And the narration just goes away. And you're like, okay, good.
Yeah.
Like the narration is completely unnecessary because it's like, she's just saying
what's going on.
Yeah, like what a sad teenager she is. And it's like, no, we get it.
Yeah.
We can see the movie.
Yeah.
But
must have been a studio note or something.
Must have been because it was completely
because the rest of the movie is so not like that.
So fucking good. And she, Haley Steinfeld is absolutely great. Woody Harrelson is fucking so wonderful. He plays this teacher who's kind of sick of teaching and doesn't really care that much.
He's just like, whatever, fuck it. I'll just be who I am.
It's like he's like a teacher who doesn't care about teaching, but he cares about students.
Yeah.
And that's kind of nice. But my favorite performance, and I didn't even look up his name.
Yeah.
Is a character named Irwin, I think his name is.
Okay.
Who the main character befriends, and he's like this real awkward nerd.
Yeah.
Who has a crush on her, and he plays awkward so perfectly, that there were so many moments with him that I was like, oh my God, I'm sure I did that like five times in high school. Where he just awkwardly tries to kiss her just completely out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And he was like, oh no, oh God.
Erwin?
Yeah.
That's Hayden Seto.
Hayden Seto. Well, yeah. He was fucking great. I really hope he shows up in more stuff.
Yeah.
The
thing about The Edge of 17 is it's another, I feel like I say this all the time, but it's another one of those movies where a lot of what's happening in the movie is well-worn territory for this kind of like, I'm awkward, I'm not happy, I'm in high school, and the drama and stuff. But I feel like this movie really treats it in a like very sort of like harshly realistic way where like everything has consequences and all the emotions feel real. And it's not like the cartoonish like, blah, blah, blah. It's like,
well,
there's
a lot
some
of
like real shit that happens.
A lot of movies about World War II have people dying.
Yeah.
Because that's what happened in World War II. In high school, everyone was miserable.
Yeah.
And awkward and felt terrible.
Yeah.
And this movie absolutely portrays that.
Yeah.
But not even in a John Hughes-y kind of a way. Like, it's quite clever and really, really nicely written.
Yeah.
But at no point did it feel like it was too clever for its own good.
It's telling that James L. Brooks had a hand in the creation of this. I think he produced it or was involved in some regard. I think it has the Gracie Films logo on it, which was fun
to
see.
It sure does, which was fun.
And I think that's a good way to kind of sell this movie, because you're like, it's... when James L. Brooks was doing really great work, it had that, like, it's funny and it's a little bit heightened, but it's rooted in something that feels right.
Yeah.
And that I feel like this movie does that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just a total win.
Hmm. Yeah. Edge of 17. It's a good one.
Nice.
Yeah. Check it out on the rental services.
Real good.
Yeah.
I got to see that.
What else, Greg?
It's
Fargo. Let's get back to you.
Yeah?
What else?
I watched Power Rangers.
Okay, I saw that.
I know
I
you do.
Keep wanting to watch that, but my wife will not let me.
Yeah, Emma was like, why are you watching this?
Yeah, yeah. I was just very curious. I thought the trailers kind of looked interesting.
Like it could be good.
Very colorful. And I watched that fucking Power Rangers 90s movie.
Yeah.
And you had some fun there.
I didn't
dislike
had
it.
Had some fun?
Yeah, I had a good time. I'm like, yeah, it's a Jolly Rangers commercial with monsters.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah.
I watched this one. I don't know what you thought, but I thought it was just terrible.
I didn't.
Oh.
But I also thought...
But it's so boring.
It's a movie that...
It's a fucking hour.
Yeah.
Before anybody is a goddamn Power Ranger.
Yes.
Holy fuck. It's just an hour of fucking teenagers.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Yeah. And like not...
Now I can spend an hour fucking teenagers.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong.
But watching a movie about it. No. And not particularly like amazingly written.
No. Nothing's interesting. And I kind of was on board because there's like a fairly good car crash shot in the opening. And I was like, I might... All right. Let's do it, serious Power Rangers. But then there was just like no fun. And then I thought they were making like cheeky jokes for adults. Because there's a little joke at the beginning about,
we milk the cow. We don't have a cow. It's a bull, you know, one of those jokes where like, oh, you jerked off.
And
I've heard that joke eight times.
A lot of times. And you got to let that just be there hanging somewhere for the adults to laugh at, for the kids who are there. But then they're like, they really got to shine a light on what really happened by literally shining a light on the dick. There's a big flashlight turn on like, oh, there it is. There's the
What?
The dick we jerk.
I do not remember that.
Yeah, they fucking shine a flashlight.
I do not
on
remember
this animal's
that.
Wang.
Also, I don't understand your explanation because you were like, they were making, you thought it was, they were making jokes for adults, but it turns out it was a joke for kids because they showed the dick.
No, just the kids are, it's not for kids, but the kids are going to be like,
what did they do?
Anyway,
moving on. But instead of allowing like the kids to not get the joke and the adults to, and then moving on, they're like, and here
they were like, hey kids, they jerked off a cow.
Yeah, I remember that being a weird thing.
Or a goat or something.
Yeah.
Some barnyard
animal. It's not a great movie.
No.
But I think I saw a lot of potential in it, and I think the action stuff at the end of the movie got away from what I would want from this kind of movie, but I thought
then it finally gets there and it's terrible too.
Yeah,
it wasn't fun.
I thought that some of the leaning on the elements of like the teenagers working together and stuff, I felt like some of the positivity of the movie won me over just a little bit. But I agree, like, it definitely takes way too long to get there.
So long.
It's not a successful movie on the whole.
And they keep pulling the rug out from under you too, where you're like, am I going to see some fucking stuff finally? They're like, all right, it's morphin' time. Like, oh, it didn't work.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we'll just have them train without suits. I'm like, no one wants this. I didn't come here to look at teenagers.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I don't. I do not disagree.
This is review's getting away from me.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah.
This is the one time. This is the one time I hid in these bushes not to see some teenagers.
I would like to see them do a sequel and hopefully get it a little bit more right.
Yeah, is there gonna be one? Are they?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
I don't think it did very well.
I'm not sure it did really well.
I didn't see it, so it must not.
I don't. Yeah, your wife is right to not let you watch this.
She usually is.
Better things.
Although
to do with
your she also refuses to watch XXX Return of Xander Cage.
Oh God, watch it!
No, that's like so that's fun. You should watch.
Just
that.
Put it on and be
The opening credits might just accidentally put it on by mistake because it's a very flashy opening.
Yeah.
So you think that if I put it on without her knowledge, she'll be so entranced by the flashy
opening
titles?
Yes.
It's total escapism. It's like, oh, it's one of these.
Say you guys are going to watch something else and then just see how long it takes to realize it's not that.
I thought I pressed the...
I thought we were watching Prizzy's Honor, but apparently... I don't know why she wants to see Prizzy's Honor over this.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yep.
Anyway,
Power Rangers.
Power Rangers.
Not
no thanks.
Great.
It's no Prizzy's Honor.
I revisited a movie that I want to touch base on real quick here.
Okay.
Because this is a movie that a lot of people hate. And I've always had it in my head as a movie that I did not like for a long time, but then kind of came around on. And it's been a long time since I've revisited it to make sure that my memories of me liking this more than most people were correct or not.
Uh-huh.
Jurassic Park 3.
Oh,
is a film I watched.
I got time for that.
I
movie.
Got a lot of time. I was very happy with this. I think I gave it like 3.5 stars on Letterboxd. Joe Johnston directed it.
Yeah.
I think he knows exactly the movie he made.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why people don't like Jurassic Park 3 is because it's not trying to be a Jurassic Park movie. It's trying to be like a dumb like carnosaur movie. It's like just hey, we're on an island with dinosaurs. That's it.
Yeah.
We're running around and we see them all.
Some kind of plot about some kid, but whatever.
Yeah, who cares? It like they start, they go, it's adventure. Yeah. It's not amazing.
People get
amazing.
Really early on.
Yeah.
They just dive right into running from monsters.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's just hey, some. If I was younger when it came out, I probably would have liked it.
Yeah.
But when it came out, I was like, fuck this movie.
Yeah.
And then I circled back on it and was like, no, this is the movie it wants to be.
Yep.
Stop trying to make it out to be something else.
Yeah, I had it.
It's a B movie. It's just
total
B movie.
I had it on VHS back at the bar back in the day, and I was watching it there. I'm like,
it's fun.
This is fun.
Yeah, and everyone's.
I've never seen it because everyone was like, it's just like a middling type of a movie.
Put it on a Sunday. Whatever. You will have a great
it's not
Sunday.
Amazing or anything?
No, it's not.
The effects are good. There's some really fun sequences.
Yeah,
it's a good like just.
It's not. It doesn't really
movie.
It does a couple of those like the wonder shots with the Jurassic Park music,
sure,
but it doesn't really go for that the way that the others do, and it's just a fun adventure movie.
Yeah.
Joe Johnston knows what he's doing with that. I think worst movie he made was Wolfman, but he's got a lot of little gems in his.
Oh yeah, that wasn't good.
Is that the one with Benicio del Toro?
Yes.
I never saw that one.
No.
Yeah,
it's not good.
So Jurassic Park 3, I say circle back on it.
Sure.
And then I saw for the first time Running on Empty.
Yeah, that's I've not seen that in a very long time.
Sidney Lumet.
Liked it a lot when I was a young fellow.
Yes.
I
was talking with Matthew Price, and we were talking about Sidney Lumet, and I was like, that's one that I've never seen. So I watched it, and that is a phenomenal piece of work.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful film.
Yeah, Judd Hirsch.
Judd Hirsch.
River Phoenix.
River Phoenix. I just saw another... I saw two movies with her this weekend. Martha Plimpton. And Christine Laddie.
Yeah.
That is a great movie.
I remember finding it very upsetting when I was young. I saw it when it came out.
Yeah, I can see that.
Or something. And it was very troubling. It's about like a kind of hippie activist family.
Yeah.
And they're like going to... They
The parents
accidentally
had
killed some people.
Well, the parents were hippies and they were protesting the Vietnam War. They were part of like one of those underground kind of movements.
Yeah.
And they like blew up some kind of a like building, and they may or may not have been involved with like people getting seriously injured at the time.
Right,
and
right.
The FBI have been after them, so they're constantly jumping from town to town,
changing names. And
River Phoenix is like coming of age, so it's almost like that ordinary people style movie where it's like strife in the family, the parents don't get along as much as they used to, and this is stressing, but with this whole other like kind of thing going on, because River Phoenix is very it's starting to affect him because he's old enough to like have dreams and want to go to college, and this lifestyle is kind
or
of affecting
a girl.
Affecting him in a very negative way, and it's a very much about that, and it's fucking good.
He was nominated, right?
I don't know.
I believe he was nominated for this for supporting.
He's great.
He's very good.
He's so good.
It's another one of those reminder of like, God damn it,
what a
loss.
There's a number of movies in his filmography that I didn't get to until like the last couple of years, like Dogfight and like this and
many
good performances.
Yeah, he was the real deal. It's a real shame.
Yeah. So if you've never seen Running on Empty from 1988, you should check it out because it's fucking awesome.
Yeah, I'll rewatch that. Because I quite liked it.
Yeah. What else?
Way back when Oscar nominated. Yeah, he was.
What else have you guys been watching?
Well, I did a little rewatch on something.
All right.
Because I had this feeling. I was like, you know what? I bet this movie is better than I remember it being.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go ahead and watch The Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
Which is the one.
With
Ed Norton.
Ed Norton.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was I had a sneaky suspicion, and I went ahead and watched it. And I'll tell you what, it's worse. It is not even as good as I remember.
That's funny. I've never seen that one. I had never bothered.
You haven't seen it?
No.
Oh.
It's funny because I always forget that it is part of the Marvel Expanded Universe. And, you know,
the first part where they were stumbling a little, but they were catching hits here and there with Iron Man.
And Tony Stark shows up in this, and you're like, oh yeah, this is all part of a thing.
Yeah,
and
I always wanted to see it because I thought, how bad could it be? Everyone says it's terrible, but
it's not terrible.
Yeah.
It's got some scenes.
Yeah, but not really.
No,
like those scenes that it's got, like its best scenes are watchable.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it is
sounds
just
great.
And it's still just in that thing where they just like, okay, we've got the Hulk.
Yeah.
But we don't know what to do with him.
Yeah. I guess he could run around a lot.
Yeah.
What if
he runs and jumps a bunch?
What if he was in a building and then he smashed out of that building?
Yeah.
What if we did that in the next scene also? And then what if Liv Tyler was there and, hear me out, was boring as fuck? How about that? And then also the scenes where the Hulk is, I think he's David Banner. He's David Banner, right?
Yeah.
He's not Bruce.
Right. No, is he? Is he going by? Because David Banner is what he went by.
It's Bruce Banner in
Incredible Hulk TV show.
In the TV show.
Bruce Banner is the 2008 Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
His
full name is Bruce David Banner.
Yeah.
And so he drops the Bruce because no one will know. TV show.
Yeah.
So Ed Norton is awful as David Banner, Bruce Banner.
Uh-huh.
He's just a big nothing. Uh-huh. Where Mark Ruffalo's great.
He's very good.
Like he's very conflicted.
Yeah.
Like, and you could really read that in his performance where Ed Norton is just boring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I wonder what the Ang Lee ones like to go to now.
I really would like to go because I really loved The Hulk. Like when I was a kid,
I did not like that one
at
the time.
I think I just found it really fucking silly.
Yeah. I remember watching, like, having it on DVD and skipping through lots of scenes.
Yeah.
Like, it's like a 40-minute movie I was kind of all right with, but it's just like, it lacks any, like, enjoyment. Like, the big fight is with some Hulk dogs.
Yeah, I remember that. Sam Elliott and Nick Nolte, isn't it?
And then he beats his dad by yelling at him.
Yeah.
That's what happens at the end.
It's
the electricity dad, and he's like, take it all, you dummy.
But and that movie, if I remember correctly, is like 100 hours long.
It's very long. Yeah.
Yeah, 138 minutes.
Yeah.
No, thank you.
I wonder what that's like now to watch in the, deep in the seas of superhero movies being out and kind of in a strong working formula.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. No thanks, Incredible Hulk.
Yeah.
From 2008.
Okay.
What? Anything else from you guys?
Not from me.
No?
Yeah, that's about it. I've been watching episodes of The Stand-Ups.
I almost watched it and not yet.
Well, I mean, it's in a lot of ways, it really is just some stand-up sets.
Yeah.
One of which is awful. I've only seen four. So I've seen Nate Bargatze, Dion Cole, Fortune Feimster, and Nikki Glaser. Right. One of those is god-awful. And then the other three are fucking hilarious.
Huh. Nice.
I'll let you guess which one was.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have anything else. All my other stuff was bad action movie stuff that doesn't probably have any relevancy to the listeners.
Fair enough.
Although I will say I turned off a film that I purchased on VHS on a whim.
Uh-huh.
You guys remember the movie Second Sight? From 1989.
With Bronson Pinchot?
With Bronson Pinchot and John Larroquette?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember Second Sight.
Yeah. That's a movie that I got like 20 minutes in and was like, I don't got to be doing this.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know who told you to watch that movie.
Nobody.
Saw that in theater. My mom.
Amazing.
Yep.
Yeah.
At the time, it had everything I wanted to see in
absolutely.
A movie.
Absolutely.
John Larroquette and Balky.
Yep.
Yeah. It's not good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, John Larroquette's film career.
Mm-hmm.
What might have been.
Yeah. Yes. I guess that's it then. Should we get to Film Roulette?
Lucky
yeah.
Woo, let's go. Film Roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good. This week it was Spider-Man Homecoming, and the low roller has to see something terrible, whether it's in theaters or at home. This week it was a Tom and Jerry film that I will be talking about. But the low roller gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week. I gave these guys an album by Helmet last week to listen to for funsies. And then we roll for movies for next week. Spider-Man Homecoming, Greg and Casey saw it, directed by John Watts of Cop Car and Clown previously.
Weird.
I believe.
Yeah. Which are two separate movies.
Yes. Cop Car and Clown.
Cop Car and Clown.
They're standing down.
Together.
It's a
again.
Game of chicken. Whoever wins, we lose. Spider-Man Homecoming. Homework can wait. The city can't. Following the events of Captain America Civil War, Peter Parker.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
With the help of his mentor, Tony Stark tries to balance his life as an ordinary high school student in Queens, New York City, with fighting crime as his superhero alter ego, Spider-Man. As the Vulture, a new threat emerges. Starring Tom Holland, Michael Keaton, Marissa Tomei, Robert Downey Jr., Jon Favreau, Martin Starr, Donald Glover, and more.
More.
Many, many more.
Yep.
This was anticipated for potentially getting Spider-Man right.
Yeah.
Lots of people like the Raimi films. I like the Raimi films. But this people were saying that this might be the Spider-Man film. so we were all very excited to see it. I didn't get to. You guys did. How do you want to talk about this?
Yeah. How do you... what's on your mind, bud?
Listen.
Yeah.
I really liked the Sam Raimi movies.
Yes.
I even have time for the third one, although I've only seen it once.
Yeah.
And I do remember it getting...
It's got some scenes that are
good. I remember
good,
it starting great
mess.
And then going, yeah. I'm not interested in what's going on here.
Spider-Man 2 is a...
Great.
I just started rewatching that this week. Watched three quarters of it and just, fuck me, is that good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, fucking Alfred Molina.
Oh, man.
Fucking great.
Yeah, you hear that, Matt Brown?
It looks great. Fucking script is great.
Yeah.
Performances are great.
Yeah. Awesome. All of that said, Spider-Man Homecoming is the best Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, maybe so.
That's what I think.
It's at least the second best.
It's,
So you guys saying number two inches this one out?
Maybe, I don't know, but
look,
I have
a real
decade
close
plus
fight.
Of love for two, you know? Like, that's a,
yeah.
Yeah.
And it's, and the thing is, Spider-Man 2 has a lot of performances. Like, this movie doesn't have a lot of performances that I loved.
Yeah.
But all of the stuff that happens and everything and the way it all blends into the whole universe.
Yeah.
I found it fucking magical.
Yeah. It's got a great tone.
Yeah.
Tom Holland is just fucking terrific as Peter.
So he was really great in Civil War. Does it continue over?
Yeah.
And becomes even better.
Okay.
Like he fleshes out the character.
That's good.
In the greatest way.
Because I was worried maybe it would in the small dose, it was so good.
Yeah.
I think he is. I liked him so much more than Tobey Maguire. Mm-hmm. I'm not a big Tobey Maguire fan.
Yeah. Tobey Maguire did a great job. I thoroughly enjoyed him, but this is way more in line with being Spider-Man.
Because I found him what I always liked was that Peter Parker was a funny guy.
Yeah.
But a real nice kid.
Yeah.
And I really felt like Tom Holland was a kid I would have been friends with in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's funny and nice. And,
yeah.
And
they made a lot of changes. But I was fine with all of them. So this takes a lot of influence from the main storyline of the main universe of Spider-Man, but it also leads a little bit into the Ultimates reality. There's tons of nods to all kinds of things just in comics or to other movies and stuff like that, which is great. I think all the changes worked, switching around some of the characters and how they fit into the world. Like Flash Thompson is a very different character in this than he is in any other.
I don't care for that actor very much, so I was just kind of that character is kind of whatever.
Oh, really? He's so great in Grand Budapest Hotel.
I liked him in that, but yeah. He was in other he was in LOL. He was in that movie.
No.
Yeah, and he's just awful. Yeah. But
I liked all those little changes are good. They were fresh, and it was nice, and they gave the movie a nice.
Are we doing any kind of an origin thing here? Is there
No, not at all.
Okay, good.
Decidedly not that.
Yeah. There's brief mention of the spider that bit him.
Okay.
And it's throwaway dialogue.
Throwaway dialogue.
Yeah.
It looks like just ADR.
Yeah.
That's
great.
From one
They're
to
like,
another.
You know what's going on here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't get into Uncle Ben shit. We don't need to.
Good.
It's great. I was so pleased with all
not
that.
Not when Aunt May is such a sexy lady.
And that change, too, is all right, so it's Marissa Tomei, so you can't get away from she's incredibly attractive. But also, I've since I was a kid, I'm why is his aunt so old?
Yeah.
So old.
Yeah.
Just make it his grandma. That's fine. When it happens.
Yeah.
Grandma raised the kid.
People love grandmas.
Yeah, all the time.
Even Spider-Man.
Anyway, so a little twists and turns like that. And this, this is very Marvel Cinematic Universe and the way his suit is a thing now.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I know it's different from the comics, but because this is the movies and it's, I've gotten comfortable with things are going to be a little bit different because just if you can accept that there's the original universe of Marvel Comics and there's the Ultimates that lives next to it, this is the cinematic universe.
Yeah,
it's
going
to have its own fucking thing too, so his suit does stuff. So don't fucking worry about it. I don't know. The tone was perfect all the way through.
Yeah, it super entertaining the whole way through. And I read somewhere that Tom Holland said what's his name? John Watts made them, the whole cast, watch a ton of John Hughes movies.
Yeah.
And it came across, not necessarily in the script or anything like that, but in the high school scenes felt very separate from the Spider-Man scenes.
Yeah.
Like it felt like, oh, now I got to go do high school. You know, like they felt like oh, well, I got to go be a high school kid.
Yeah.
And then that would sort of like bleed into the Spider-Man stuff and vice versa. Yeah, like I felt like they created a world really nicely.
Yeah, and there is a really like direct nod moment to a Hughes movie, but it was so well set up because like before the direct nod came, I was like, hey, this has me thinking about this, and I was like, and here it is, you know, like there was a quick little there's a backyard sequence.
Oh, yeah, right.
And I was like, that's nice, because I totally got that.
Yeah.
before it happened, I'm like, oh, nice.
Yeah. I didn't really care that much. Like, the way they sort of, like, were like, oh, well, here's this character or this villain. And it's sort of thrown in a real nonchalant way. I'll just say it's the Shocker.
Yeah.
Is just sort of thrown like I don't know if they've done something in the comics where two different dudes were.
Listen, here's the thing: no one cares about the Shocker.
No one cares about the Shocker.
He's the total garbage throwaway character, so it doesn't really fucking matter who's playing him. Nobody gives a fuck. He's a low level player.
So do they just bring him in and be like, "Here he is. See you later."
No, they just kind of do his thing.
It's more that like,
is it setting something up?
No.
Not really, no. Because it's more like the Shocker is a thing than a character.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because that's the thing with the character in the comics too. Is like anybody could be the Shocker because it's just he just has some equipment.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, like that when they first created Wolverine, the claws were just part of his gloves.
Yeah.
Right.
But Claremont was like, no. It can't be like that because then anybody could be him.
Yeah.
It has to be part of him.
Yeah. Okay.
So
they bring the Shocker. Is it just throwaway? Like, hey,
he's got a role to play.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But it's just kind of like whatever. Now, one thing that I was really interested in was Michael Mando's character, and I thought it was fucking great that he was in it. But you kind of like, oh, he's in it for a very short time, but then you realize that his part will be fleshed out.
Well, he's Matt Gargan,
right?
Yeah.
And
as soon as they were like blah blah blah, Matt Gargan, I was like,
yeah. So that must be what they're doing for the next one.
Well, yeah, he's like, because Mac. I don't want to get spoilery. If you know who Matt Gargan is, good for you.
Oh, okay.
I
was gonna say, explain Matt Gargan.
No. Well, he is a far larger character than Vulture or any of the other villains that are in here. Or at least he's on par with Vulture anyway. He was far more used as the years went on because once they were like, well, Vulture's kind of silly.
Yeah.
They really moved away from him in the comics. Like the biggest book that I read, I think there's like one Vulture issue in the McFarlane era.
Yeah.
And they brought him back. And so there's massive changes. Like Shocker's going to be whatever he is because this world that they're setting up, these are huge changes made to the Vulture. Like, this is not the Vulture story.
Okay.
Which is fine, too, because it's not... Vulture's from a different time period of, like, this guy's going to be like a bird dude.
Yeah.
This guy's going to be this thing. You know, like, it's a little, like, it's not quite as thought out, you know, as they do today.
Which bums me out because that's actually something that I really liked. Because I read Spider-Man comics when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And I always really liked the Vulture because he was just an old guy.
Yeah.
Like, he was like an old man who was also a supervillain. And you didn't really have to worry about why he could fly when all he did was dress up like a bird. and stuff. But he was like this hardened criminal old man that I was like, oh, well, that's kind of novel. There's not a lot of that. And I thought it would have been really cool if they had have just done away with all of the Marvel Universe's incessant reality building.
Yeah.
But, you know, they weren't going to do that.
No.
Like, why would they?
Because they're building it right into that reality. Yeah. That's kind of the point of the movie.
It would have been out of place. So what they did with it, it wasn't my Vulture. Hashtag not my Vulture. but it
That's
was
my
Michael
favorite
Keaton.
Sally Field movie.
Not without my Vulture. But it was fucking Michael Keaton, and he was badass.
Yeah, he was great.
Yeah.
And I like this version of the Vulture. I think the design looked fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And made the character really threatening.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked his performance. I liked what he represented and how he came to be what he was. Like, I thought the whole world of it was really cool, and I liked that the level of where this kid is at and becoming a superhero, the stakes that are going on around him as the film builds into the climax, fit that.
There was a couple little plot conveniences, or maybe not conveniences, like kind of little twists or surprises that I thought were really great, because it goes towards building the real threats in a teenage boy's life.
Yeah,
like the real intimidating, scary things are built into, or an extension of the big fantastical things that a spider boy is dealing with.
Yeah.
Just a fucking great deal of fun. And the very last scene was fucking wonderful. The very, very little, very last thing that happens, not the post credit thing.
Okay.
But just the way the movie proper ends is so fucking
so
great.
Good. Yeah.
And one little touch I was happy about as well was, Peter's a New Yorker, so he sounds like one. Finally.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not like he's not like, "Hey, yo, I'm fucking Spider-Man over here.
I got bit by a spider." That was a very good New York accent, by the way.
I don't know why it gets so glittery when you go.
Remember,
but he's just got like a little New York accent, and it's part of it. It's just a nice touch.
All this fighting got me hungry for a real fucking slice of Brooklyn pizza.
Hey, I gotta get some pizza because the water makes it delicious.
Post-credit scenes, or two of them.
Yeah.
Just so you know when you go see the old motion picture.
Two of them?
Yes.
Looks like you and fucked
first
up.
First there's one, then there's another one.
I couldn't go anywhere. It was the first of two movies I saw at that drive-in.
Oh.
I love that you saw it at a drive-in. Yeah. That's pretty dynamite.
It was really wonderful.
That's got to add to the whole enjoyment of, because it's a fun, really fun movie.
It's a real popcorn movie.
Yeah.
I will say this about the drive-in. If you're going to get to the drive-in, get there early.
Yeah.
Because if you get there late, you're going to be way the fuck back in the middle of nowhere, and the screen's going to be very small. So there were parts of this movie where I was like, well, who's that guy? Oh, is that the same guy from before? Does he have a face? I can't see. And that was a bit of a bummer.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
At the drive-in, was there a lot of that, like, somebody accidentally left their lights on and everyone was like, because I remember that.
They probably used their horns.
Yeah.
No. Everyone was like,
everyone's
like, "Hey, everybody, if we sound like a bunch of seals, he might turn his lights off.
I'll do the dolphin." Because I remember, like, I worked at a drive-in briefly, and I remember, like, every show of every movie I saw there, multiple people would turn their cars on at some point and not realize that their like high beams are on and like wash the whole screen out, and then everybody would be like, "Get the fuck out of you fucking idiot!" And just like honk their horns.
Listen, that did happen a bunch of times. Lights turning on and everything like that, but nobody went,
"Damn."
We all just waited patiently for the idiot to realize what he was doing.
Man.
It was also my job to walk around with a flashlight and make sure there was no funny business going on.
What
were you supposed to do if there was funny business
and
going
did
on?
Did you ever see any funny business?
What?
No. I remember my boss, like, he was like, "Now you got to go around and make sure, like, no one."
And you were like, "Let me off the chain, man."
Yeah.
I was like, "Change in this place?
Just give me the gun. Just give me the gun." No,
let me go out there on my own. Don't follow me.
Yeah.
If there's funny business, let me handle it my own way.
I just went outside and walked around and watched the movie and went back, and I was like, nothing's going on.
Right.
Man. I got
now, were you, what, when you say funny business, what did they
I
want you
I think
you
didn't
go?
Want people like hopping fences or in there that like shouldn't be in
Is
there.
Is hopping fences a euphemism?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Hopping over the fence of their pants.
Right.
Of the pants fence.
Yeah.
The belt.
Yeah. No, I think you just did like, or like people maybe like doing drugs and drinking and stuff.
But you were like tapping on windows like, hey, no
more
drugs.
Hey. Hey.
Let me see all those hands. Yeah.
There better not be a dick in that popcorn.
I don't want it.
Yeah.
Very good.
Now, There was no Dan Gorman at this specific drive-in because it it's a very large field outside, and it smelled very much like weed.
Yeah.
The whole time.
Honestly, drive-ins are like the Wild West now. The last I went to the drive-in in St. Catharines.
Oh, there were gunfights.
Yeah, gunfights. And in the snack bar, it was like just chaos. Like nobody knew where to line up. Like it seemed like the people getting the food were in charge. They're like, this is how it's going
to
work.
Oh, wow. Believe me, I went to the snack bar to get snacks. And it was a fucking calamity.
Yeah.
It was insane. Everyone was wandering around. People were crying.
Yeah. It was crazy.
And yeah, like onion rings are a very sought after commodity.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, because
I'd fight you right now if you had some.
Don't look in my pockets. Onion rings.
It's been
bring
so
those onion
long.
Rings over the fence, Casey. Yeah.
No funny business.
Slowly.
It's been so long since I've been to the drive-in that the last time I went to the drive-in, and this was for new releases, not a retro showing of anything, I saw a double bill of Tommy Boy and Virtuosity.
Oh, good.
Wow.
Good double feature.
Yes, it was.
Two wonderful films.
Yeah. So what's that, 95 or something? That's the last time I was at a
about
fucking
95.
Drive-in.
Yeah.
That's insane. Go to the drive-in. It's wonderful.
Fun, yeah.
Now,
let's
we took
do
the kids.
Let's all go.
Oh, my God. It would be amazing.
Yeah.
We took the kids, and there were brief periods where Beatrice was like, why is this movie outside? But otherwise, it was very difficult to wrangle them and keep
like
them sitting in the car and not yelling at us.
Yeah, there's so much to do. I'll run around.
Yeah. I think the guys beside us have weed. I'm going to go see if I can get in on it.
See if I can score some nugs.
Hey, you holding?
Dad, I think they got tasty nugs over there. I brought my hacky sack just in case. Daughter is a filthy.
Yeah.
By the way, my 3-year-old daughter.
Yeah.
It was a real fun. Our double feature was Spider-Man and then Baby Driver, which I watched
for
a second time and loved even more.
Well, nice. Did Maya see it with you the first time? Or
No.
What did she think of it?
She fucking loved it.
Right on.
Awesome.
Like, it was.
That's a good night.
It started at midnight.
Wow.
We were like,
oh my God.
This is crazy.
That is crazy.
Yeah, but we both were awake the whole time.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah.
Well, Spider-Man Homecoming sounds like it was a rousing success.
Yeah.
It was
it's great.
A rousing success.
It's really good. It's a Marvel movie that fits in with the Marvel stuff, but I felt like it was its own thing too.
Cool.
Like just the tone.
Yeah.
You know, it had its own little something going on.
Yeah.
Super excited about this.
Nice.
Later, I have like a theory.
Yeah.
That I'll talk about later when more people have seen it.
Okay.
Spoilery for some stuff.
Okay.
Cool.
I have a feeling that much like the Raimi ones, Spider-Man 2 in this incarnation is going to be great.
I get that vibe too. And like I was like, I like what you've set up here for.
Yeah.
I'm game. This is, you know, this is your Force Awakens. We shook off the grossness and now let's really fucking fly.
Has there been any confirmation about whether or not he's interested in another movie?
Who?
The director?
John Watts?
Yeah.
Oh, I have no idea.
Okay.
No, I hear he hates ass loads of money.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but I mean, here's your example of this is probably the right way to do it. Marvel's got a way they want their shit to go.
Yeah.
Go get a guy who knows how to fucking hold shit together on a film set.
Yeah.
Make the movie. He's gonna add some color and fun to what you're doing, but he's gonna do what you're doing.
Yeah.
They didn't go and get some. They didn't do a.
They didn't go and get Josh Trank,
right?
Who was like, "You're not gonna let me make my movie, Marvel."
It's a machine. They're pumping things out.
Yeah.
They have a way to do it.
It's supposed to look like this. It's supposed to have these elements.
Yeah.
Go and do it. Make enough money so you can go and make another little tiny movie that's as fucking great as Cop Car.
Exactly.
Sweet. Well, we'll see what he does next then.
Yeah. Interesting. Anyway,
do you know what I do next?
What?
I talk about the film that I saw.
Yes.
Tom and Jerry, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Not Tom and Jerry in Willy Wonka.
No.
Just Tom and Jerry. Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory.
The name of another film.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Two properties separated by a colon.
Directed by Spike Brandt. The classic Roald Dahl tale gets a modern twist when Tom and Jerry enter the amazing world of Willy Wonka's Chocolate Factory.
I think modern is overstating.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the best movie since Blazing Saddles, colon, Sophie's Choice.
Yeah. It gets a modern update when these two very old cartoon characters, older than the original property, get for some reason inserted into this other property.
It's the best movie since.
And, yes.
I know.
Yes.
I was just, I was going to make my joke.
Okay. And then you didn't.
Yeah.
And then you didn't.
Go ahead.
What was it going to be?
I was going to go Laurel and Hardy and Schindler's List.
Yeah.
So
pretty good.
Yeah.
So this is something that I guess Tom and Jerry direct-to-video animated features have been doing for a while, which is like, we'll put them in this like story, Wizard of Oz, or we'll put them in this
and
thing.
And I feel like it's almost, maybe I'm wrong and they've done something fun with it. I'm probably not wrong. But I feel like you could also achieve the same effect of this if you were just to watch the Willy Wonka film at home and tape a picture of Tom and Jerry on your television.
Yeah, or like in between scenes, just like cut it, splice in like an episode, like 5 minutes of an episode, and then back to the movie,
and then
5 minutes back to the movie.
Stop switching the channel.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It is that then.
So this movie is not good.
Yeah.
And this is actually a really tough one to figure out how to talk about because it has, like, I haven't watched a classic cartoon in a long time, but I used to watch them all the time. I used to watch all the Looney Tunes. I had tons and tons and tons of cartoons. I bought all these DVDs in like college of all the classic cartoons and stuff to revisit them.
Yeah.
So there's a very specific kind of like comedic timing that comes to these things, specifically the Looney Tunes stuff that has that kind of like orchestrated with the orchestra music and then also the comedic timing that goes along with all the music and stuff.
Yeah.
It's been a while since I've seen something with that rhythm. So at first, the first couple jokes happen and they aren't funny or anything, but I was like, oh yeah, I remember like this was ingrained in my blood. This kind of thing when I was a kid was just always on. I watched all of them. It didn't matter if it was good or bad. So I, from that perspective, like I understand this as a product, as a, like, it's for your kids. It's good enough. You know, like, this is going to be in front of a kid that doesn't care, and it's going to be fine. They'll laugh when they fall over. It's whatever. Deal with it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's also like, well, you've taken this great thing, half-heartedly reproduced it in a very specific to the movie way. The songs are all the same, but they're not sung as great or is with as much energy. It's just you're never gonna.
Yeah.
And then you've like in the borders animated in these two characters who like, you know, help get the lost ticket back to him when they don't know where it is or like.
Oh, it's only hour and 19 minutes.
Yeah.
You got lucky.
So there's all this stuff going on with like Tom and Jerry that's sort of like on the edges. It's like, they're over there with the Oompa Loompa, and so they're having fun over there while they're doing the like Chocolate River stuff
and
from the movie.
Is the Willy Wonka voice actor doing a Gene Wilder impression?
It sounds Gene Wilder-esque. It does.
Trailer.
It does sound a little Gene Wilder-esque.
And like
he's not terrible.
Like,
The animation is.
Did they put in the comes out of the factory and does the fall?
Oh yeah, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work at all. I said to Emma, "You can't do this in animation. Like it just doesn't look right.
Yeah,
like him walking and stuff, and then stopping and grabbing for it. Like the timing doesn't work. The animation, it's on a weird angle. It just doesn't look like you almost don't even realize that his thing is stuck in the ground. There's like they could have even had like an insert shot of it cutting it. It's just like nothing about this works. The only way that this works is if you know that's what he's doing because you saw the original movie.
Yeah.
It's weird.
Stupid.
Really weird.
Yeah.
And
it must have felt so long.
It did actually feel really long.
I bet it was like a real
It felt
long.
Really long. Yeah. But halfway through, I was like, really? That much left of this movie?
Do Tom and Jerry feel really superfluous? Because it really does seem like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory and also this.
Yeah, and two characters who don't speak.
Yeah.
Well,
And was the cat trying to murder the mouse still? That happened.
Yeah. Well, sometimes they're friends, sometimes they're not.
Friends sometimes.
Yeah, it has like, that, yeah. Like, he's mad at them, and then they team up, and then he's mad at them, and then they team up, yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes they talk behind each other's back.
Well, Tom does kind of have a voice. He doesn't say anything, but when he gets hurt, he goes like, oh!
Oh, good. They've made him terrified.
It's like when he gets hurt, it's a very obvious, like, yell. It's like, wow!
Yeah, I remember that.
Oh, fuck!
Yeah.
It's kind of like that. It's kind of like that.
Oh, you fucking mouse!
Yeah. So it's not very good. The animation.
Gerard Butler is.
Yeah, oh, fuck.
You fucking mouse. I'm so fucking thirsty.
Yeah.
Jerry has fallen.
Yeah. So the animation at first I was like, this is fine. It's just not great. Yeah. It looks rushed. But then there are some like genuinely puzzling design choices. And so there's like a couple kid characters where I was like, you've drawn them their eyes in such a way that they look dead behind the eyes. They're just like staring at like nothing. And it's so weird. Some of the character designs are just so weird.
Are the children dead?
No, but like like they have these huge pupils, and there's a scene where one was like shocked, and so he had like a quiet like moment where he had like a surprised look on his face, but the eyes are just these big pupils, and you're like, this looks like he's like dead behind the eyes. I don't understand why you would choose to animate this way.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's the thing that struck me when I was watching this. So at some point, Tom is helping Jerry do something where he goes down in the sewer or something to like get the ticket back because it fell down a grate, and he's distracted by like a sexy like woman cat, like when Bugs Bunny would be like the sexy Bugs Bunny, like that kind of thing. There's like there's like a cat across the street, and he looks over and he's like, whoa, and then something happens to Jerry because he's distracted.
Yeah,
and I spent so much of this movie being like,
why do I have a boner?
What is this thing over the fence? No, being like, so there's another human-sized cat in the world of Willy Wonka.
Right.
Why is that one wearing clothes, but he's not? Is that woman cat trying to like blend in with the humans? Why is she the only one? Is she hiding from someone? What's going on? Like, why is there? I didn't understand it. I didn't understand it.
Sounds like you had a real Stand By Me moment.
Yeah. I don't understand why there was one other same human-sized cat.
Yeah.
Because Jerry or Tom is a cat, just a big one.
Yeah.
But he obeys by cat rules.
Right.
But this other cat was like living amongst the humans.
Maybe that's why he was so distracted.
Yeah.
Maybe he was like, there's a better way.
Yeah. How can I be like you?
Yeah.
So, I just noticed something.
What?
Looking at this film on IMDb, and then I looked at the similar.
Yeah.
There's a Tom and Jerry.
The Fast and the
Furious.
Oh,
movie.
The Fast and
fast
the Furry.
The Fear Furry.
Oh,
now,
my God.
Does that have the characters from Fast and the Furious?
I certainly
in it?
Hope so. Is it Tom Toretto
that
in
would
here?
Be the best.
Tom like, and Jerry when... crack some Coronas at the end of the movie?
Yeah, Double Family.
Yeah.
some of Jerry's brothers had to play. Anyway. You remember in like Scooby-Doo and the Harlem Globetrotters or someone would show up and it would just be like them but animated?
Yeah.
I want that movie to be like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So, yeah, this movie was like one big why. Like, why is this a thing? Like, whatever. It was bad. It was really bad.
Yeah.
It was not fun.
Good.
Yeah. So Tom and Jerry, Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. No.
Mm-hmm.
Not good. Okay.
Yeah.
So because I lost the previous week, I gave you guys an album.
Mm-hmm.
I gave you guys an album that I like.
Mm-hmm.
And I gave you guys a real hard rockin' album.
Yeah.
Hard rock.
I gave you an album by Helmet. Their debut from 1992.
Their major label.
Or their major label debut. Yeah. They had a
Strap
EP
it on
or something.
This,
yeah.
Yeah.
1992. So is this their second album then?
Yeah.
Okay. Meantime. Mm-hmm. So my time with Helmet has been something that happened very recently. I was creating a playlist or something on Spotify where I needed like 90s grungy rock stuff, and Helmet was something that I had heard maybe a song or two, but caught my ear when I was making the playlist and started to dive into,
yeah,
specifically Me and Time from 92, Betty from 94, and Aftertaste from 97.
Yeah.
Don't really fuck with any other stuff.
Strap It On's good.
Yeah.
If you like
I need to listen to Strap It On.
Yeah.
More. Yeah, I think I've checked it out, but it, yeah. And I don't go into any of the later stuff.
No. Well, a lot of it's, you know, then it's just Paige Hamilton. The other guys are gone and nothing, you know.
Yeah.
When you don't have John Stain, you're on drums. It's,
yeah. So I just was like, hey, you know, we just got done talking about a hard rockin' album by Daughtry, and the heavy music had been on my mind, and, and it's maybe something that actually was good and heavy, and actually heavy.
Yeah.
So I gave you guys Meantime. Now, Casey had mentioned previously that he was in his mind he had maybe thought that the thing that didn't grab him about Helmet was maybe the production, and I agreed because I went to this album, was kind of like, no, thanks. And then I went to Betty and Aftertaste. And then when I came back to Meantime, I was like, now I get it. Yeah. I like this a lot.
Yes, please.
Yes. Yeah. And so I listened to this album on the way here today for the first time in about a week.
Because
this was another one of those, I'll give it to them and then stop listening to it.
Yeah.
But then I was like, I'm happy I have this on in the car because I'm sitting around in traffic and drumming and headbanging. And it's a fun album.
Yeah.
All right, so I want to know what you guys think.
Mm-hmm.
Greg, you had experience with them, obviously.
Oh, yeah. I was into this in high school, I guess, when it came out.
Yeah.
Loved this album. It was really, really different as far as the heavy music landscape was going on. Paige Hamilton's vocal approach is pretty unique, particularly for the time. And he has both his clean vocal and his aggressive vocal are weird.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just kind of neat and different, and his approach to, like, and it was this very... very precise riffing.
Yeah.
No one really quite sounded like them. They were a different kind of heavy. And I liked oddball bands that sounded just like they only this band sounds like this. You know what I mean? And they felt fit into a larger world of changing metal, alternative metal landscape that had elements with the Jesus Lizard and Melvins, but then it was progressing into this and like Quicksand and some other shit. And it was a cool movement, and then it was kind of done because this didn't really. It either just still sounds just like this, or that then it's some other kind of, you know. Mm-hmm. Different extreme metal sound. But this is an interesting little chapter. I still like this album a lot. Not every song is good.
No.
It's like a solid 70%. But that shit that I like a lot.
Yeah.
Unsung is so good.
Oh, yeah.
That title track is so good. There's a lot of great shit on here. It's, it's a cool, unique sound.
As a memory that you weren't too fond of, how was this?
I didn't like it in high school. And I didn't like it now for some of the same reasons and for some totally new reasons.
Sweet. Finding new reasons to not like this.
Absolutely. I found it awful.
I was listening to it on the way here today, and I was like, I don't think Casey's going to go for this.
I threw it on immediately after recording. I left and put it on, and I was like, I love this record. Casey don't like this.
No.
No.
As I'm going through it, I'm like, he's going to hate this.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, Paige Hamilton, fine, do whatever you're doing. I don't love it, but I don't hate it. And his kind of screamy stuff could be really interesting if it was buried within the mix, it sat in the mix properly instead of right over top of it, it, like, everything I'm saying is very clear and not interesting. And also have some gross delay on it, too. That's just that's unnecessary. I didn't like that. The riffs are god awful. It sounds like.
That was another thing that I was like, these are just very, like, simple, heavy, kind of dumbheaded riffs.
It sounds like the guitarist, forgive me, I don't know his name. It sounds Paige like Hamilton. The guitarist just found out about Drop D.
He's
like,
Paige
Drop
Hamilton's
D?
The guitar player as well.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah.
It sounds like he just figured out what Drop D was and was like, listen to all these metal sounding riffs that I can make. Don't these sound a little like metal?
I get that. Yeah.
Just fucking meandering bullshit. And then every once in a while, the drums will be like, okay, I'll do something interesting just to fucking spice this shit up. And so to the point where when I was listening to it, I was like, man, I wish this was just the drums. Because I really dig a lot of what the drums were doing.
The thing
of
Stainer is very, very good.
Sometimes the drums would do a real clumsy, sloppy fill, but in a way that you're like, that was supposed to be clumsy and sloppy because... because thematically, the drums are doing something.
Yeah.
And over this fucking shitty riff, the drums are making this riff interesting by doing something that the drums shouldn't be doing.
And I think part of the stuff that you're saying is part of the reason why I like it, because I don't disagree. I like I said, I was driving here today listening to this, and I was like, these riffs are not going to go over with Casey. They're just like a jung, 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 ka jung, ka jung, jung, or whatever.
Yeah.
And a part of...
But sometimes I would just want...
I know.
And there's those like hard... Like there's a lot of... all the riffs are very isolated.
Yeah.
There's not a lot of like through line. Yeah. Like he will like... It's like...
There's not a lot of layers. It's not an album where there's like another guitarist doing something interesting. It's just very... It's very bass. It's very...
It's very thick strokes. Like, and the all the riffs are like... And I say this as a real shithead. But like as a musician or as a guitarist specifically, when you find out about Drop D, you do sit in your room for like... a whole week or 2 weeks or a month or whatever, and go, I'm playing what sounds like a metal riff that would be like, I'm making this shit up right now, and this sounds like a fucking sweet metal riff.
It just sounds
heavy.
And then
you get a little older or a little better at guitar, and you realize, oh no, that's just, you know, it's just some fucking
now,
dumb.
I wonder how much you would continue to hate or have what Betty would do to you.
This is what I was thinking.
Because Betty is a more eclectic album.
Well, the thing about the other two Helmet albums that I really like are the eclecticism. Again, not every song on those two albums are great.
Yeah.
But the eclecticism of them makes when they drop back to that kind of like dull-headed metal stuff, it makes more of it interesting, I feel like. But I do feel like they get to some very cool stuff in those two albums.
Yeah. Milk Toast is a fucking dynamite song.
Great. Yeah. Well, I had fun even if Casey didn't.
Yeah, me too.
I think if you have fun listening to this music, you should listen to it.
Whoa.
That's
put that on a t-shirt.
Dang.
Yeah.
What do you got for us this
week?
So
I got some
Dan Gordon.
I got another positive pick.
Sorry. I don't mean to jump on everyone.
Yeah, you're a fucking asshole.
Oh man. I get it. You know, sometimes I listen to podcasts where like people make real fucking gnarly stumbles and nobody says anything. And I'm like,
you're like, what a wonderland to fucking live in.
This man does not know how good he has it.
I gotta go guest on that show and straighten some shit out.
His voice cracked and he said that word not right at all, and he took a moment and corrected himself and they moved on.
And nobody was a real dickhead about it.
But that's the part of the appeal of the show. I have a great album for you, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. I have a good one.
We'll see.
Yeah. So I messaged Greg in our thread about some sort of forgotten or interestingly surfaced albums, in particular one by, what was it, Lewis?
Lewis.
Yeah.
And
so the story of that was like nobody had ever really known about it till someone found it at a thrift store, and then it became this like big sort of thing people were interested in. So I started down in a little wormhole of that kind of thing, and I ended up on this record from the same label that album came out on.
Oh yeah.
And it is an album by a man named Jim Sullivan. This is his only album, and it was a similar thing. He was a artist who started playing some shows and started building a bit of a name for himself, and he ended up cutting an album, and this album features musicians from the Wrecking Crew, so it has a bit of oomph behind it in terms of what they were going for. And then one day he was like, he packed up and he moved away from his family and was never seen again.
Oh, I've read about this.
Yeah.
And you can do that?
Yeah, and nobody...
yeah. This is the UFO album?
UFO is the name of the album by Jim Sullivan. Yeah, and like... No one ever found him. They found his car, and his guitar was in the car. Mm-hmm. And they were like, he doesn't go anywhere without his guitar. So we don't know what happened to him. And one of his friends was like, yeah, one of the last conversations I had with Jim was he was talking about if he ever wanted to disappear, he would just walk into the desert and disappear forever. And that's what I think happened. So they think he was just driving and was like, I'm done, and just walked into the ether.
Yeah.
And left behind this album, UFO, and it's kind of a country album, kind of a folk album, a bit of a rock album, and it's really cool, and I can't stop listening to it.
Cool.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Dynamite.
Yeah, so check that out. UFO, Jim Sullivan. Check it out. Very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All righty.
Now it's time to roll.
Yep.
This week is a big one.
For you, particularly.
Oh, I'm fucking dying to see this.
Yeah. War.
What
four
is it
or the Planet of the Apes?
Yeah.
War 4. Colon, the Planet of the Apes.
Yeah. Versus.
What did we end up picking?
A TV movie.
Right?
Yeah. Of Planet of the
Television
Apes.
Television movie.
Was it Goodbye to the Planet Earth?
See you later, you
See you later, you
planet?
Fucking planet. It was something like that, wasn't it?
Oh,
not?
Yeah. Farewell.
Farewell to the Planet of the Apes.
I think so. Yeah. I think that's it.
I want this to be like a big song and dance number.
Farewell.
And they're like waving back. Farewell to the Planet of the Apes.
Thanks for being a.
So they made a number of TV specials, I guess.
Yeah, there's five TV movies.
Yeah,
it's all it is they had a 10-episode series that no one cared about, so they try to resell it to everyone as movie event television.
Yeah.
Movie events.
There's two episodes
crammed in, so this is the final one, so you can see how this is the end of this ape franchise.
Yeah.
Now that we're watching, and this is the end of the old one.
Yeah. So this is gonna feel very much like hey, two things are happening.
Yeah.
At once, and just like here, watch two episodes in a row.
Yeah, there you go, and take care.
So it's ape versus ape today.
Yeah.
And I'm going to roll.
Okay.
Let's do it. That's a fucking two.
Ooh. It's not good for your ape desires.
That's a three.
It's better than your two.
Casey can roll
the
a one.
Said about dance
Casey
ape
can roll a one or a zero.
The thing that's going to be the most insulting to you is when I beat you. I don't even give a fuck
zero.
About seeing this ape
zero.
Movie.
One. That's an eight.
It's an eight.
It's an eight.
Dan, you're having a rough year.
All righty, Dan. Well, I'm going to go ahead and sleep through your ape movie.
You fucking piece of shit. You goddamn bastard. The last movie is so goddamn good. Uh-huh. You are so wrong.
Yeah.
Ah.
Well.
It's not
going
to be a better than two.
Yeah. I'm
should've.
Surprised you rolled first.
Yeah, I wanted to.
I can't. That's
too much pressure.
It's, yeah. When you really want something.
Yeah, well.
Yeah.
You live, you learn.
Yeah, not you.
Nope.
No.
I just keep losing.
Damn it.
All right. Well, next week we will talk about War for the Planet of the Apes. See you later, Planet of the Apes. And
just sucked the whole life out of you, didn't
yeah.
It?
Yeah. And we'll also talk about an album, UFO,
yeah.
Jim Sullivan. That'll be great.
Yep.
So do your homework, listeners, and come back next week for all of that. This has been another great episode of See You Next Wednesday. Please email us at info@modernsuperior.com with all your thoughts and feelings on the things that we have talked about. Rate and review us on iTunes. Go to SYNWPC on both Facebook and Twitter, and modernspirit.com. Punch that Patreon button, baby.
Ew,
I'm dead.
This is the sound of a man trying to claw his way back to life.
I know.
It's never gonna happen, Dan.
God damn it! That was the role I needed.
Yeah, that's your one. That's feel like the biggest one of the year
one.
For you.
Yeah.
Hey Dan, how about this? I'll sell it to you.
Yeah,
I'll sell you my win.
Oh yeah, for what?
$1,000.
No, for $1,000.
Oh Dan, you caught me in a loophole.
Oh my god!
I really
god.
Need those dollars.
Do you have $1,000?
I have $1,000.
No.
Yeah.
Ooh, less said about that, the better.
It's lucky it wasn't more because I have exactly $1,000 wrapped up in a little Ziploc bag in my fridge where I keep my hair, as longtime listeners know. That's a way back.
Good.
Yeah, very good. Way back.
Well, thank you for listening, everyone, and we will see you next Wednesday. Goodbye, Internet.
Bye, baloney sleeves.
This episode has been brought to you by the Modern Superior Podcast Network.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.